what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hanging out at one of our favorite places, the Mall of Georgia Hooters, the Taj Mahal Hooters, as we like to say.
Gwinnett is popping.
It is. Today was the first day of full pads for our Atlanta Falcons, Mike. We got a chance to take it all in. We'll tell you the latest and our takeaways from practice today as we continue to count down to the season. First things first, man, you know, it's always good to see these guys get a chance to go full speed again. A couple of dust-ups.
Yeah.
But the real thing for me that stood out today was Penix, man. He looked good again throwing the football. If you keep stats, and some people do, 7 of 11 on 11 on 11 drills. He hit Drake London a bunch of times today. Mike, the concern, I think, is Raheem Morris, who was non-committal on Darnell Mooney's return. We said this could be 2-3 weeks, depending. Asked if he'd be ready for week one. Of course, Raheem Morris today saying, we'll check it out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's not going to give you that information. DJ Shark is an insurance policy. He's not the same player Darnell Mooney is. Darnell Mooney's explosive down the field. Shark can't stay as healthy, but he is a taller target. So he does, you know, provide some matchup issues if he does stay on the team after, you know, Darnell Mooney's injury situation works itself out. Maybe he gets cut. A couple guys were asking about that today. But, yeah, man, the team, it's hard to get a gauge. Carl and I were talking about this earlier. In 2 weeks, the Tennessee Titans will be here for scrimmages, dual practice, and that's when you'll really get to see the rubber hit the road. But I think you look at the size. When Zach Harrison is playing in the middle with Onyemata, that's a lot of beef. Or when Ruka Roro was in there, you got a lot of size on that line. We had a great conversation with Leonard Floyd. You're going to hear that coming up in just a bit. Former Georgia boy returns to play for the Falcons. But I thought today, you said it was 9-5, man. It was Penix to Drake, and there's some great catches and great throws. Said to Carl earlier, you know, years ago I said to Carl, these guys, they don't listen to anything we say. And Carl goes, no, 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 man, these guys hear everything. Well, the Falcon players are certainly hearing everything that's been written and said about Kyle Pitts. Because Kyle Pitts today, for instance, he has a play where it's kind of a tough catch out of bounds. He drops it, and as he's running his way back towards the huddle, all of a sudden, who comes out? Bergeron comes up and daps him up. He says, you got this, man. And then I notice another play where he makes a big catch, and all of a sudden, three guys run over, and they're high-fiving him. So even though we might think that Pitts is a bust or at the bare minimum effort has been uneven,
yes,
or he's not fulfilled his fourth overall pick status, this team is really lobbying and playing and pulling for this guy to have a great year, which is good. That's, hey, it's a great rallying cry, right? Penix is the number one cheerleader for this guy.
It is, and he set the tone. Remember, day one, he came in and said, we got the ball to KP today, didn't we?
Right.
There's going to be a lot of that.
Everyone in the media room was like, oh.
So, yeah. To your point, though, I mean, look, I hope that Falcon fans realize that these guys are in his corner. None of these guys are hoping that Pitts is not going right. to exceed expectations this year.
Maybe they think the media has bullied him, Carl.
Well, it's possible. I mean, look, you know how they feel about us in some cases. But I do think you're right when you say all of his teammates are lifting him up, right? They're encouraging right. him with what he's been able to do so far at practice. But that's the way it should be. But to Mike's point, I will say this. And some of you guys are like, well, isn't that like that all the time? No. This has been different. It's been a different – because I think, and I don't know this for sure, but I think Raheem Morris has probably said, we need a great year out of this guy, and this guy.
Right.
And when they had those private meetings, Mike, before camp started, my guess is Kyle Pitts' name probably came up. And I think his teammates are probably behind him because they understand, as I've been saying for the last two dang years, this offense isn't going to be what it is without Pitts being special.
He takes you to another level.
He does.
Wherever you think we're going to be living, he puts you onto another level. That's the thing about this the weapons. Guys, every day when they ask us, we come up here and we run to somebody at Hooters, and they say, who looked good today? Well, Bijan looks great every day.
He does.
I mean, Bijan does these jump step things, cut step things, and literally half the guys are getting faked out of their jock. And he does it, you know, it's like you and me getting up in the morning brushing our teeth. It's just second nature for him. So Bijan looks great. I thought Algier had a lot of great runs today, too.
He did.
Look at this great 1-2 combination running the football.
He broke off a couple of really nice runs today. First day of full pads. And, look, Leonard Floyd, you'll hear from him as we sat down and visited with him today. And Khalid Kareem worked mostly with the first-team defense, as did Zach Harrison. David Onyemata was out there as well. Rook. And Brandon Dorlus, who we talked a little bit about yesterday, was with the first team. So you're seeing different combinations. And I want to say this. If you're going to these practices, these open practices, and you see what's going on, this may not be the team or the first team defense you see in week one. they are rotating guys in and out. There are different situations that they're working on, but you get a sense of what they're trying to do and accomplish up front. Mike, one thing did happen today. It's Dukes and Bell live at Hooters Mall of Georgia location, inviting you guys out. Come on out and hang out with us. We'll be here until 6 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There was a catch today, and it gets back to your comment about they don't listen. Yesterday, D. Orlando Ledbetter, friend of the show, who writes for the AJC, AJC.com, he wrote a post that basically said Drake London is out here dropping money. And he had money bags,
right?
Because Drake had dropped a pass. And so he was insinuating like every pass Drake drops is going to cost him loot.
Now, that's a little bit of D-led hyperbole.
It is.
What are you saying, Mike? I'm making stuff up? No, D, I'm just saying you're prone to hyperbole sometimes.
And so today before practice, I said, hey, I saw the Drake London post. I was kind of laughing about it because you out here saying everyone he drops, he's losing money. First time Drake catches a ball on the sidelines today, he looks over and says, report that blank, D-led. And everybody who was in an earshot who heard him, including myself, because I'm standing there and I'm laughing my butt off because I had witnessed before practice talking to him, and I think Drake looked over. But to Mike's point, you don't think Drake's aware? You don't think he knows? He's got to have a big year. This is not a big year for him to get the kind of deal he wants, Mike. And he did it in a joking way. This was not personal, but it was literally
funny.
It was because D-Led, you're out here talking about me dropping balls. Report when I catch these balls, too.
Yeah, because it was a drag route where he basically goes up and makes like a 90-degree cut to the sideline. So he makes this great catch, gets his feet in bounds. Report that, ish, D-Led. Everybody was rolling, man. So that's where we're at today. D-Led aside, I thought Drake had a great practice. I don't think he's losing money. I think he's going to get paid top five. I think he's going to be part of this class that resets the wide receiver market.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. We're going to let you hear from Michael Penix coming up. He did speak to the media again today, addressing everybody. And also our interview with Leonard Floyd. You'll hear from our general manager, Terry Fontenot. Morning Shift had a great interview with him this morning on the station. And we're also going to hear from Matt Bergeron, who we like a lot. We don't talk a lot about him, but we like him a lot.
Speaking of guys, you know, we don't talk about him because he doesn't screw up. You never hear his number rarely called for a false start. He's got energy. I know we always think of the defensive guys who set the tone. There's some mean SOBs on that offensive line, and Bergeron, he brings some Canadian street to the equation because he is a guy who's always got the energy. And him and Pierce, they've been scrapping a little bit. I'm loving what I'm seeing in the trenches.
I am too. And again, I brought up the toughness thing yesterday. You just don't say we're going to be tough. You got to have tough guys, and I hope that is translating at least.
What do you mean you
on.
Can't just say can't, we're going to be
Smitty,
tough?
You can't do it, Smitty.
2014, the Falcons are soft.
Yeah.
The Falcons aren't tough.
Yes,
the bull Falcons spit.
Were
that's
soft. Gonna... The Falcons aren't tough. Bull.
We're gonna change that perception. We're gonna get tough.
Yeah.
I want every one of you guys to look in the mirror and say, "I'm a tough guy."
That's right. That's right. That's how you do it. Hey, man. Follow us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. I don't know where he went, but I just saw Robert. Robert is with Pepsi and is a big fan of the show and listens all the time. We have a bunch of mutual friends, but he's here and he literally said, "Hey, man, I was in the area. I wanted to come by and see you and Mike." But Robert, thank you. I don't know where he went, but he was sitting there at the bar. So.
I believe he had too much Pepsi. I believe he's in the men's room.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. So he was enjoying the food and all the things, but wanted to give him a big shout out as the show started here today. Look, I said it yesterday at the end of the show, and I will say it right now again. Koo, I'm watching you. Tell me you saw the kicking portion of practice today. Tell me you saw it.
Hey, all I can tell you is Lenny Krieg.
Yes.
Has got a hell of a leg. I mean, that guy can hit. Now, he did miss a 54-yarder, but he made everything else. And then Koo missed one of his intermediate-range kicks. I think it was about 45 and change.
It was 54, Mike.
So both guys, they each missed a kick. So I would say it's a push today as far as the kicker battle.
I don't need a push, Mike. I need Koo winning this battle hands down.
Right.
I want to be completely confident in young Wei Koo. Koo, I'm watching you. He every time he kicks now,
right.
I'm a little bit on edge.
And I saw somebody, they clapped back at you on social media. They said, yeah, it's a kicker. And Carl goes, yeah, it doesn't matter until it matters. Did it matter in the Saints game? Did it matter in the Chiefs game? Yes. You got to have this thing dialed in. We've seen too many teams lose games because the kicking situation goes sideways. We can't be that team.
You know what Leonard Floyd said today, and you'll hear it coming up. He said, we got to get off to a fast start. We got to get off to a hot start.
In those first four games.
Leonard Floyd is talking about the first four games, or nobody else is wanting to mention the first game of the season, because they know. And how do you get off to a hot start? Your field goal kicker has to be on point. We can't get moving the ball down the field, Mike, and then all of a sudden, cool, go kick it, it's 40 yards, and then we're like, fingers crossed. He's got to be better, man. And look, he's had a great run up until last season. But if you're saying, what's the big deal, we missed the most field goals of any team last season. That's what the deal is. And whether he was injured or not, it cost us. And so I'm watching him, and I'm watching this kicking competition. And again, to Mike's point, I don't know if Lenny is going to seriously have a chance to win this job. But let me tell you something. Every time Koo misses and he makes,
right,
that puts pressure on him.
Especially when the alternative is a lot cheaper than you. The other thing is, we can, and this is something I think Joe Patrick brought up, because of the international program that Krieg is a part of.
Keep him.
You get to keep, I think you get an extra roster spot for him on your practice squad. So if you do want to have an insurance policy for Koo, and Krieg does a nice job, we can keep him on the taxi squad.
Yeah, well, look.
Or he just wins the job.
I was going to say, the way he's kicking, I mean, I'm impressed with his leg. You're not lying.
But
these 50-yarders look like he could hit from 70.
And he's built like a blank house. He's a big guy. There's a video of him. Now, I don't know what level of football that is he plays in Germany, but there was a bad snap. He picks up the ball and runs it in for a touchdown.
He's an athlete.
So he's got a little bit of athleticism, but that's not what we're dependent on. We're dependent on him making those 45-plus kicks.
All right, just giving you our takeaways from camp today. First full day of practice as far as pads are concerned. And, again, to Mike's point about Pierce, guys are digging his edge, man. Guys like James Pierce's edge. And again, you know me, I've been saying this for a long time. We don't have enough killers on this team. We don't have enough guys to just literally walk in the locker room and go, I'll kill everybody in here.
Right.
We need more of those guys.
Remember years ago when Tack McKinley got drafted, we thought, well, look at this guy. He's crazy.
We did.
I said, Carl, he's got that East Bay, Oakland. He's going to be like a wacko. I love it. And then it turns out, no, that didn't work out. The craziness overtook the production on the field.
That's right.
It was a bust, and we needed T.J. Watt, but that's another story. But,
yes.
But getting back to our guy, James Pierce Jr., yeah, he's bringing it, and everyone's noticing it. You'll hear what Leonard Floyd had to say about it, to Carl's point. It's being commented by Michael Penix Jr. Offensive line's talking about it. So he's got it. And by the way, Jalen Walker was held out of practice again today. Mm. Now, I don't know what exactly.
Concerned?
Well, Coach was kind of spinning it, and I don't know what you make of it, specifically when he was asked. I want to get the quote accurate. I don't want to be misquoting the coach.
This is Ra.
Coach Raheem Morris. But talking about Jalen Walker not being on the field, modified practice plan, according to Raheem Morris.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's dealing with something or what, or workload, but that's, you know, that's a little confusing to me.
Yeah, because someone asked me if I should we be concerned because he hasn't been out there, because he didn't practice Sunday. Okay. So you
today's first day of pads.
Correct. So you fast forward, and somebody said, Duke, should I be concerned? I'm not going to go there yet because I don't want to get everybody all antsy and say, oh, because I don't know. I'm
right.
Not going to tell you I know when I don't. But I will say, yeah, Mike, it's a little weird. And if he's just getting maintenance
right,
and they're being cautious with him, okay, great. But I need to see more Jalen. I need to see Jalen in these drills. I need to see Jalen, in 11-on-11. 404-726-0929. Big show for you guys. Coming up, you'll hear Terry Fontenot, general manager of our Atlanta Falcons, who stopped in on the morning shift. But when we come back, you'll hear from our quarterback, Michael Penix, talking about a bunch of things, including the responses to his Instagram. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.